We see what we're potentially going to be. Potential ain't. All right? Potential get us all fired.
Thank you for listening to the Arizona Bird Gang podcast, which you can find at sports360az.com, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and azcartstalk.com. Did you like how I said that correctly?
I did.
Good, good. We had to start over twice because Tyler got upset that I kept calling it Cardstalk.
Yeah.
Well, good. Should we jump right into Cardinals stalk?
Yeah.
Now? All right.
Let's do that.
We had a lot going on today anyway. Tyler's tortured my dog.
I am doing that.
In the
it's
studio.
It's quite fun.
It is quite fun. It's Wednesday. Are we recording on Wednesday today?
It is Wednesday.
We've been recording consistently on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
You could almost say people can expect to hear us on Wednesdays, but we're not going to do that.
No.
Because,
not
who knows?
With you.
Not next week. Next week, we're definitely not recording on Wednesday.
No, we're not. That's not happening.
Yeah, because that's Peyton's birthday, so I take him out for a nice steak dinner.
Yeah.
Peyton's the dog that you were just torturing.
You're right. No, I know who Peyton is.
I take him for a nice steak dinner. Get him a birthday cake. Usually get him
you
a
do
ice cream.
Realize the other significance of that day, correct?
Is that Christmas?
Oh, it is.
Is right. It Christmas?
Yeah.
I had no clue.
You know, you do have a Christmas tree in your living room.
Yeah.
I mean, your lobby, because we're at the studio.
Yes, the lobby in the studio is where it's at. Well, I waited until Wednesday to do a podcast because I was waiting for my blood pressure to come down a little bit. It's finally down. I can look at things. Because if we did a podcast on Sunday night, it had been, even though it resulted in a Cardinals win, it had been nothing but me screaming like a lunatic and trying
I
to catch my breath.
I found myself doing that as well throughout the whole game, mostly because of Pete Morelli, but we'll get into that.
Okay. Prior to Pete Morelli issues, or prior to the let's do this. Take away the final 3 minutes of the game, or final 3 minutes of regulation.
Of regulation, okay.
How did you feel about the game overall as far as how the Cardinals played?
I thought it was very sloppy. I thought the defense was just out of sorts. We haven't seen them really that bad this season, I don't think. That was probably
and again,
the
they had only had scored up 17 points up into this
It was just
point.
The way they were playing. I think the Titans really let themselves.
The way it used to be, or usually is, it's the points were scored because of a bad offensive turnover and a bad field position, and other than maybe the one really bad drive where the Niners just ran it right down their throats the whole time.
Right.
Locking in that victory. Aside from that, yeah, there wasn't much sloppiness to it. And one of the questions I was going to get into later, but we might as well just jump right into now. Could it possibly be the absence of the Honey Badger?
It could be. I mean, it looked like they were they couldn't get any pressure on Ryan Fitzpatrick for whatever reason.
Well, oh, you mean Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Oh,
did you,
yeah.
I don't have any of that. I don't have one.
I like it. It was a good boom-tsh.
Yeah, because what they let him look like. They let him look like Michael Vick.
They did.
Atlanta Falcons,
yeah,
Michael Vick.
2003 Michael
I
Vick.
I couldn't believe what Ryan Fitzpatrick was doing. I'm just going, is somebody going to wrap him up at some point? I mean, I don't even know how he was doing it. But just making the defense look
the beard
a little bit silly. Just made the defense look a little bit silly. Ryan Fitzpatrick looked like a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, and I think that's not because of the secondary necessarily, which I know they were missing Matthew, so that's a big part of it. But I think it was because they couldn't get any pressure on him. And every time they blitzed, he just ate them right alive. He hit his read every time they blitzed. Blitzing just did not work out well for the Cardinals in that game.
No.
I think Fitzpatrick knew that coming in. He's a smart guy. He went to Harvard, which is always the
Yeah. I think he tried to go to ASU, they said.
Really?
Yeah, somebody looked. It's a cliche thing to say that he
went to Harvard, but yeah, he just kind of ate that defense up, and anytime they blitzed, I mean, their third down conversion rate, I don't have it right in front of me, which I should.
You know, one of the stats I heard in the pregame radio show on, I think, 92.3.
Passion Wolf.
No. Prior to
that. Oh, the pregame.
Yeah, like the
Damian Anderson.
Yeah.
Bertrand Berry.
Yeah, it was one of the stats I heard somewhere in that area was that the Titans are in the top 10 in third down conversions and on the defense stopping on third down. Yet, for whatever reason, they don't consistently turn them into points. So it's kind of a stat that kind of contradicts themselves.
They're a bad red zone team, but they're a good third down team.
Yeah, they're a good third down team. So the whole game overall, yeah, I agree. The defense
looked really sloppy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I thought the offense, they kind of switched places for a week, didn't they? The offense played pretty well, I thought. 37 points they put up.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a couple of weeks going now. I mean,
Carson Palmer, I mean, nothing spectacular, 20 of 30 with only, one touchdown pass, but no interceptions again.
Yeah.
It's like there's a magic formula. If he doesn't turn the ball over, the Cardinals seem to win.
Except the Eagles game, of course.
Well, he turned the ball over twice.
Oh, that was a turnover. I was thinking of an interception. You're right.
No, well, he didn't throw an interception. He did, too.
Against the Eagles?
Yes, twice. Where were you?
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm having a
you're having a
you know
brain
what?
Melt.
I do. I am having a brain melt. You're right. I apologize. Well, what I was going to pull up here on my Pro Football Focus, which I very much like, is I'm curious to see what the passing stats are when blitzed. Yeah, when blitzed, Ryan Fitzpatrick this week had a 111.6 passer rating.
Give us more detail than that, because I hate passer rating, to be honest.
Okay. Detail. Drop back, 23. He's got 23 dropbacks when he was blitzed. He threw 22 times, ran once, completed 72% of his passes, 72.7, threw for 198 yards, two touchdowns, and one interception.
There it is.
While he was being blitzed.
198 yards and two touchdowns when being blitzed. That is just unacceptable.
And here's another key stat. Of the three sacks, none of them were while being blitzed. That's right. Good quarterbacking right there.
That's good quarterbacking, and it's bad defensive coordinator. Todd Bowles really let me down. I mean, if he's seeing that blitzing is not really doing anything, why was he still doing that in the final drive of the fourth quarter?
Ever notice how when it comes to a really good quarterback and you're worried about the quarterback play from the really good quarterback, the Cardinals always lock the guy down. But then, like, some guy named Ryan Fitzpatrick or
right.
Ryan Tannehill. Maybe it's Ryan's. Just when it's kind of a
mediocre.
Oh, yeah, this guy shouldn't be a problem.
Right.
And then all of a sudden,
he's
guy.
A superstar.
Yeah, throws for four touchdowns. Just something I picked up over the last few years. Even though you can't compare the two teams, the two defenses. Just something seems like when you think that they're going to.
So, yeah, like I was saying,
be wild, you know.
The defense wasn't able to get pressure. I mean, that touchdown, let's look at the one, for example, that Fitzpatrick threw to Chris Johnson along the sideline where Dansby was in man coverage. You can't expect Dansby to be in man coverage against Chris Johnson for that long.
Mm-hmm.
He had, like, at least 6 or 7 seconds in the pocket, it felt like. It was way too long, and it was way too little pressure, and I think that really is what hurt the Cardinals, and if they would have lost that game, we would have been talking about that more.
Patrick Peterson had by far his worst game.
Oh, he can't cover speedy, shifty receivers.
Which is what we talked about on the last podcast. We were concerned about old Kendall Wright.
Look, yeah.
Kendall
had 150 yards receiving on the day with 12 receptions.
I haven't pulled it up yet, but let's pull up the stats that Patrick Peterson had. So when throwing at Patrick Peterson, he gave up just about a perfect passer rating, 152.1 passer rating,
right,
throwing at Patrick Peterson. He gave up six receptions on seven throws. So
six on seven targets.
For Kendall Wright, Kendall Wright caught 96 yards, six receptions on seven targets.
Against Patrick.
Against Patrick Peterson, yeah.
Yeah, it was a bad day for Patrick.
And then Nate Washington had a big 33-yarder. Mm-hmm. And then a guy named Mike Preston caught two passes
on
Patrick. Caught a touchdown on Patrick Peterson.
Oh, I think he had two for the game.
Yeah, two for the game, one on Patrick Peterson.
And I think that the one on Patrick Peterson was that last one to tie it up in the fourth quarter, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and we'll get into the final 3 minutes more specifically in a minute. But Honey Badger being out seemed maybe, you know, my thought process is Antoine Kayson looked like he got picked on quite a bit. I know he had two huge, huge plays.
Right.
I get that, and I'm happy for those plays. But he also seemed to get picked on and thrown on quite a bit, as far as I saw, at least. Nate Washington had four receptions on him. Kenny Britt had two. No, I'm sorry. Nate Washington had two. Kenny Britt had one. Mike Preston won. And Chris Johnson had the one that... No, that was for 19 yards. I'm just looking this stuff up on the fly as I say it.
Right.
So, you know, the numbers on it really don't look terrible, but at the time it seemed a little worse. I don't know.
I thought he played well for stepping in.
Yeah, he did.
Place. And I thought Rashad Johnson played extremely well, too.
Yeah.
So it's more, for me, with Matthew's absence, yes, you lose the secondary coverage. Yes, you lose the blitzing that he brings when he's off the edge as a
which Tony corner. Jefferson did well on that final play.
Yeah,
I agree. They ran the plays that they were going to run. They ran
more
with Tyron
Tony
Matthew.
Jefferson, please.
Yeah,
he's a playmaker.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, I like that kid. Anyways, I think most of all they miss Tyron's spirit.
Yes, I absolutely agree. He's. I'm not big into saying this because I don't.
Yeah, it's kind of cheesy.
It is
kind of cliche.
It is. It is cheesy and cliche. But the guy, he's one of those guys with heart.
Yeah.
And I don't like talking about guys with heart because I don't know. Just show me what you can do, and that's all I really care about.
Right.
But he does. He's
it's
got
not
a, certain...
a tangible thing we can look at and analyze. It's something that you just kind of have to see.
Yeah, just the way people kind of rally around him, and
right.
He seems like a pretty significant rallying point. So yeah, the play didn't drop off too much. It seemed a little sloppy. I agree. There were some. Seemed to be a little bit more missed tackles floating around. I think Pro Football Focus documented as having like six missed tackles on the day. You know, and I got actually, we talked about last week, we weren't sure exactly how. We didn't think Antoine Kayson would go in and slide into the nickel, so we assumed he'd go out to a primary position.
Outside,
yeah,
right.
To an outside position, and maybe Jerod Powers. And I thought possible Javier Arenas, maybe.
Right.
The stats on Jerod Powers were actually pretty decent. He was in the slot for 43 snaps. He was targeted three times only and gave up one reception for 12 yards.
That's not bad.
That's it.
That's not bad.
That's all he gave up. He was doing point. He gave up from what Pro Football Focus is showing, 0.28 yards per route. So that's about a quarter yard every time.
I'll take that all day.
Somebody, yeah, and technically those are better than what Tyron's numbers were, but you know, it's hard to, you're not going to sustain that throughout the season.
Right.
He just happened to have a good day. So, you know, the nickel play didn't drop off too much. The safety play didn't, you know, people are going to fill in and they're going to play well, but it's a matter of normally you don't have to have that many substitutions. So overall, this was the first week without them. I think it'll become more fluid, the substitutions and,
right.
and the communication, and it's a communication thing. And, you know, that could all be reason for the sloppy play a little bit, just being a little off on the communication maybe. I don't know. Just one thought possible. But overall, I thought the offense did a good job. You know, the Titans defense is a good defense. They're one of the more stout defenses in the league. It's just it hasn't translated into wins.
Yeah, they've been kind of falling apart lately. And speaking of the offense, I know I'm probably jumping ahead of where you want to be, but I just want to talk about the player of the game for me.
Oh, the player? All right, give me a player of the game.
Player.
Oh, player of the game.
My player of the game, and I haven't done this year, Carson Palmer.
Oh.
And I'm going Palmer because he took that hit to the ankle
mm-hmm.
from Kamarion Wimbley.
Mm-hmm.
And he could have easily just said, oh, I can't even move on this thing. It's in so much pain. Drew, you're in.
Yeah.
Gut check. He went in there. He won the ball game for his team. He drove the ball down the field for Jay Feely to kick the game-winning field goal. By the way, he won NFC Special Teams Player of the Week for that field goal. So,
yeah,
gut check Carson Palmer. He moved the offense, 37 points. He gets my player of the game.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody better to give it to.
I mean, Kaysen, you could give it to Kaysen.
You can give it to Andre Ellington.
Yeah. He was.
I would give it to Andre Ellington. You know, a couple of those catches. Damn, this guy is a phenomenal slot receiver. He could be. He seems like he could be a phenomenal slot receiver, and they need to keep doing that. Whatever that is.
That was a tight throw.
Keep doing that. I mean, the little moves he's put on, that little, it looked like his, he collapsed his own knee and then took off. I mean, the way he dipped down on that one that got him in the field goal range towards the end of the game, which I actually think they wound up getting a touchdown on that drive. You know which one I'm talking about, the tight throw that Palmer had.
Yeah.
It was in the fourth quarter. It was just a phenomenal play.
He's just a versatile weapon.
Yeah, he's just extremely versatile. They really do. I mean, he's accountable for 150 yards. I'd like to see him get in the end zone a little bit more.
But, you know,
Rashard Mendenhall's
doing their goal line touches. So,
and he's doing a good job. And
that's fine.
He's doing a good job. Mendenhall might be back next year.
I actually don't like... I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, not at all.
Really?
But I don't like the idea of Ellington even getting goal line snaps, to be honest. I mean, unless I'm a fantasy football owner, but...
Nah, I don't mind.
I'm not, so I don't care.
No,
I don't like it just from the fact that he's slight of frame and he doesn't need to be getting those touches. I'd rather have a guy that can just power it in.
I mean, and Mendenhall's doing a fine job.
Exactly.
So I have no argument. It's not like Mendenhall's getting stopped short. He's pretty much getting it every time. I mean, he's really not getting stopped short too often.
So you think Mendenhall's going to be back next season?
I mean, I don't think he's going to get a lot of money. Where's he going to go?
It's not about where he's going to go. It's about
who's going to pay
the Cardinals really want to bring him back. I mean, he's played well for these past few weeks. Yes, he's played well. But I don't see why Stephon Taylor can't do the exact same thing.
We don't know he will. He could.
He could.
But
why not?
If you like what you're seeing out of him, and I wouldn't be surprised. I think, I don't know.
I think Ellington next season, his role is going to expand in the run game specifically. Mm-hmm. And I think Stephon Taylor is going to take over for a lot of those carries that Mendenhall has.
I don't think
Mendenhall
is going to be very expensive.
No, I don't think so either. But
he's still fairly young. He's not very old.
Yeah, but he's got so tread. Much tread on those tires. Are you kidding me?
A lot of wear
on those tires.
Yeah, I guess.
It's not about, and with running backs, it's not about age. Age is just a number with them.
Yeah.
I don't see him coming back personally.
From this point out now, I think we've seen enough. There's a lot of people who hate Carson Palmer. He's coming back.
Oh, yeah. I don't see a scenario where he does.
We're not drafting a quarterback in the first round. I don't think.
I don't necessarily know about that. I'm not going to say yes or no either way.
Here's the thing. If one of the, and I don't, I'm not even going to start speculating on who the top tier guys are. If
I'll tell you who they are right now.
Okay. Tell me who's the first rounders that are going to go.
Okay. For quarterbacks, you mean?
Who's going?
Bridgewater.
Who's going top 10? Bridgewater.
Manziel's going to go top 10.
You think he's going to go top 10?
I do. Derek Carr.
Where's he going to go? Is he a top? Top 10 or first round?
Oh, top 10.
Okay.
Derek Carr. And maybe Blake Bortles from UCF.
Okay.
Those are the names that are being thrown around that
if
I've seen. So
somebody who
that's four quarterbacks so
is coveted as a top 10 guy
right.
drops for some reason, and it's just like, oh my God, this is an absolute steal,
right.
then yeah, I think so. But
I'm not saying this is going to happen. If Johnny Manziel drops the Cardinals, which he's not going to, but by some chance, his team just are like, I'm worried about the character. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about a slight frame holding up in the NFL. Cardinals got to grab him. No question in my mind.
I like him, but I don't know. I like to watch him play.
In college, right?
In college.
And a lot of people say the exact same thing.
I'm not going to pretend to begin to know if that he can translate. I have no clue. He seems like he could. I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
he makes plays.
I think he's a
Russell Wilson small, but I think he's got a stronger build.
He's more stout than
Johnny. Where Johnny Manziel is.
But Johnny's kind of like in between almost Robert Griffin III and Russell Wilson, that he's not like thin, like track runner. Like
so he's
RG3.
Thicker than RG3?
Yeah, he's thicker than RG3, but he's not as stout as RW3.
I think RG3 was in the preseason when we talked about.
I
talked about him being the bust this year because there's always a second year bust.
Not a bust. I would say it's a down year. You think RG3 is a bust? Complete bust?
Yeah, I don't think he's that good.
You know what's funny? I completely disagree.
I didn't think he was good last year.
Oh, I completely disagree.
Yeah, I didn't think he was good last year.
I just think Shanahan just does not know what he's doing. He's in over his head completely. Nah. That dude's a joke of a coach. But
they should.
I actually tweeted that out this past Sunday.
Trade his ass and hang on to Kirk Cousins.
I tweeted that out this past Sunday. If the Redskins decide to trade RG3, should the Cardinals enter? I said,
no, I'd say stay away.
I'd give up a first rounder for RG3.
Would you?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have no interest. I've seen enough out of that guy. I'd have no interest.
I think he's a great pocket passer without the running ability on top of it. Who does he have for receivers? Garcon? I mean, that's about it.
He's got that tight end. That rookie's pretty good.
Yeah, okay.
I forget his name already. That's bad. Fantasy guys will know who he is.
Yeah, exactly.
I forget already. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I hate to get off topic too much, but no, I don't like him. Oh, well.
Okay.
What two? Where'd we go? Let me look at my paper here. I got nothing.
I mean, we got to talk about... I got something.
All right, give me something.
There was a casualty from this past Sunday's game. I know we said that the week before, too, with Tyrann Mathieu. This week, it's an even more important player, perhaps. Definitely a bigger name player. Larry Fitzgerald. And in case you didn't really catch up on this, which if you wouldn't be listening to this if you didn't, but...
People. I thought you were talking about me. I'm like, no, I there's a lot of stuff I don't pay any attention to, and I still do this.
Well, yeah, that's true.
No, people listening to this, yeah, they know.
Oh, my goodness. Anyways, he sustained a concussion. It seems like he's sat out practice today, Wednesday, that we're recording this. And he's so far
has passed his concussion tests, though.
Okay, yes, he's passed them, but...
To where he's at now. We haven't read anything. I haven't read anything.
He hasn't been cleared, though.
He's not cleared, but he's passing what he needs to so far. But I don't think he can be cleared until a certain point in the week.
Right. And it has to be by a third-party doctor.
Yeah.
From the NFL, not from the Cardinals.
Yeah, yeah.
So this Sunday, we played Seahawks. Big division game. If Cardinals want to, you know, even have a sniff at the playoffs, they got to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it. Should Fitz play? If he's cleared, assuming he's cleared to play, should he play?
Well, let's start with this. Let's pretend he's cleared.
Okay.
Who is going to keep him off the field?
Bruce Arians.
You think Bruce Arians would keep him off the field?
Yeah.
You think he could keep him off the field?
Yeah, he's the coach.
I don't think he could.
And I don't think Fitz is the kind of guy that's going to go against Bruce Arians' decision.
I think it would cause major rifts.
No, I don't think so at all.
Really?
Not at all. I completely disagree with that. Fitz is a professional.
Yes.
He's going to listen to the
coach.
He
is a professional.
He's going to listen to the coach's advice.
He'd have to get ripped off kicking and screaming.
No, see, I disagree.
100%. Maybe not in front of the cameras.
He's not Dez Bryant.
No, he's not. But I think when it comes to this situation, this scenario, the sense of
pride
and team that he has, yeah, he's going to say, no, I'm playing. I've been cleared. I'm good to go.
No, I think Fitz is going to make the best decision for his body if he's cleared. And then if Bruce feels opposed, say Fitz says, okay, yeah, I'm ready to go. If BA says, I don't think you are, then I think Fitz will sit. And I don't think he's
going to
stink about it.
But at the same time, I think
he'll sit down with BA if that's what BA decides and say, hey, I'd rather play.
My guess would be BA would go, what do you think? What do you want?
To tell him to go, what do I want?
I think BA would ask Fitz, can you go?
Right.
Do you want
Which is what he did earlier this season.
Because one, he's old school.
Right.
Do you want to go?
Right.
Are you good to go?
Right.
Yeah, coach, I'm good. That's what it's going to boil down to.
I think you're right.
And should he play? Absolutely, he should play.
I'm really torn.
I'm not torn at all. This is a scenario where they have the opportunity to do something special. Right now, they're not waiting until next year. That's what they said in the beginning of the season. We're not waiting until next year. We're not waiting 2 years. We're not rebuilding. We're going to do it now.
Right.
Every single team, you know, everything I want to say is all jumbled. All the things we want to talk about today are all kind of jumbled into one thing. Every single team, I mean, you could take any team. Right now, I mean, it's a matter of 2-3 play calls that separate the Cardinals having the Seahawks record and the Seahawks having the Cardinals record. That's it from each team. Each team. Look at, you know, every loss. Look at the car. Look at the Eagles loss. Now, again, play calls or plays. So one of the things we want to get into is
or
refs.
Flags.
Yeah, refereeing. You know, the way that these games are being reffed. The flags that are being thrown. I mean, you could look at a lot of teams.
They've been interesting, by the way.
They have been interesting, and we'll try to get into that, too. Every team, I mean, look at the. You could look at the Seahawks. I'll pick you right now. Three games. Houston. One or two different plays doesn't go the right way. No, let's start first week of the season. Seahawks up Carolina. One or two plays doesn't go the right way.
Seahawks, I mean, lose that game.
Russell Wilson had to make some phenomenal plays, and on top of it, you always got to get a couple calls to bounce.
Well, that's how it always works, though. If it's a one-score game, one play could be a bomb.
And that's my point.
To a receiver, exactly.
Every one of these one-score games, you know, they're not always decided by the teams. Some of them are decided by the refs. You know, some of them are decided by just damn luck. I remember seeing Russell Wilson launch a ball in the air that he had no clue was going to even land in bounds, and it wound up getting caught. And, I mean, just dumb luck.
Right.
And some of it, Seahawks have the best team in the league right now.
Right.
But there's some dumb luck in there that they could have 2-3 more losses. No problem. No problem. 2-3 more losses. And that's between Carolina, Houston, and I want to say, and Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
That's three games right there. They could be sitting 9-5. Just like that. Just because a couple, just like the Cardinals. I mean, the Cardinals could be, you're looking at a couple different plays that could have them at, sitting at wherever they're, you know.
The Rams week one, 11 the Eagles.
Yeah, or they could have 7 wins. You could go back to the Buccaneers game, you know, and look, I mean, they're, you know, it's just.
And the Texans game.
And the Texans game. And so, I mean, the game is so, so close. I mean, hell, the friggin' Lions lost last night by 3 inches. They lost by 3 inches on a 61-yard field goal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's just, it's crazy.
Those 2 nights ago, by the way.
2 nights ago? My nights are all off. Is it really? It's Wednesday.
Yeah.
That was Monday.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous.
Absolutely.
So with that, what was I saying?
Back to Fitz.
To play. Yeah, he's got to play. Because you could be the best team in the league, and you could be the best team in the league next year. You could have filled up your team, created depth, done all the right things, drafted all the right guys, and you know there's always a couple plays here and there, a lot of little losses by one because of some stupid ass penalty, mm-hmm. Clapping in some guy's face.
Yeah, Daryl.
Putting a shoulder in some guy's chest, but the ref thinks it's your helmet.
That was Rashad, and that was. Let's just. You're already touching on it. I think you want to transition. So
with that being said, yeah, I think Fitz should play.
Okay, I'm torn on it just from the fact that as a fan, I always want to see Fitz play because he makes great plays. He's a great player, but as a person, I mean, I don't want to see him further injure himself. I don't want to see another concussion because he's already kind of. Kevin Cobby.
Who, Fitz?
I'm saying, like, it's possible he could sustain another one because he's already susceptible.
Fitz will never get hit as hard as Kevin Cobb was getting hit.
No, but you're missing my point, and that's not necessarily true. Ask Muhammad Massaqua. Oh, my goodness. Remember that play a couple years ago?
I do. Yeah. I do remember Fitz saying a couple years ago when all this concussion rules started coming into play and these helmets and all this, that he would rather get a concussion, get hit in the head,
than
a torn ACL.
Yeah,
poor old.
That's amazing.
Poor old honey badger.
I mean, that's going to affect these players that say that. It boggles my mind.
He's a competitor. He wants to win.
No, I hear you, but these players, they don't think long term.
Yeah,
the players that say that, because that could really affect their quality of life.
Yeah.
Ask Mr. McMahon if he thinks that same thing.
Yeah. Well. All right. Reffing, that's what we're getting into.
Yeah.
The play calls over these last few weeks.
Well, okay, I'm going to preface this. I thought the Rams game, the calls were fine.
Oh, yeah.
A couple weeks ago. So I'm not going
to blowout.
Well, okay. Yes, but what I'm saying is I didn't think there were like a lot of questionable calls in that game. It's been the road games, ironically.
No.
On the road against the Eagles. And on the road against the Titans. Those are the two games for me that stand out.
Because I didn't have any issues, even if you take any of the other losses. I mean, I can't go back to the, you know, you really, you have a hard time going back to the 49ers game and saying, oh, we lost that one because of the refs. We lost to at home on Thursday night to the Seahawks because of the refs.
No.
We lost the first game against the Rams because of the refs. Now, there were some, maybe some here and there where you're like, oh, man, that was a little questionable. But, man, this Eagles game and then this last week against the Titans.
I'm not going to blame any of the, even the loss against the Eagles, I'm not going to blame that on the refs. I thought there were a ton of bad calls. A ton. But I'm not going to say they lost because of them.
I don't have a problem when people do blame the refs at times.
At times, I don't either.
And in that game, because there was a lot of controversy on the Twitter, a lot of people arguing about, you know, well, Carson, because people, man, if they get a chance to jump on Carson, they will jump on Carson.
That's true.
He shouldn't have this, and they shouldn't have that.
That's kind of
he underthrew. You're right, because he underthrew people. That's where those picks came from.
Mm-hmm.
He underthrew. He did have, turns out, elbow injury. No big deal. But he underthrew this. He underthrew that. He had a clean pocket. I get it. But every single team, a lot of games are going to be close. Most games are going to be close. It's the NFL. They're going to be close games. So something's going to decide it. And sometimes, not every time, but sometimes, it's the refs that are the difference.
Mm-hmm.
In that game, yeah, the Cardinals, they fought back. They had a fight back. They put themselves down. They put themselves in a bad position. But don't forget, they put themselves in a position to win it too. And then those late play calls made it so it was impossible for them to do. So did they hurt themselves by being down? Yes. But when the game was teetering on whoever could win, those play calls did decide the game. You're always going to have a lot of games come down to the fourth quarter, to the final few minutes. A lot of them do. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, I mean, when the refs start getting flag happy on one side and then not calling on the other side, again, not blaming the refs, but sometimes I don't know.
You know what's interesting? I think as fans and as the local media in particular, it's funny how after the Eagles game, that was the only thing everybody talked about all week was the refereeing was terrible. Yeah. And Bruce Arians said he sent in 15 tapes to the league office to be reviewed for the poor refereeing. This week, Cardinals beat the Titans.
Yeah.
If they lose that game, that's all we'd be talking about right now. But since they didn't, it's like the refs get a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
A little bit of a break because the Cardinals won.
Affect the outcome.
Right.
Yeah. No, I agree. And that's usually the way it winds up being.
I think that's kind of ridiculous, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to be critical of the refs and their poor officiating, you got to be consistent.
You know, Bruce Arians said that coaches do that a lot more often than people even realize. They send plays to review.
Yeah.
Not 15.
No. And maybe they do send 15. That's what we don't know.
But it's not usually.
You don't get a lot of guys like BA that are so in your face honest that say, hey, I sent 15 tapes in. Usually they just kind of do it and they don't tell anybody.
Mm-hmm. Because you're not allowed to criticize the refs. But you can say I sent in 15 tapes.
Right.
For review.
Right.
And that's fine.
That's a backhand slap.
The one thing I wanted to ask about the Titans game. Who did you blame for the 17-point comeback in the final 3 minutes? What did you specifically?
I'm looking at.
I won't say any names, but I have one person who completely blamed Larry Fitzgerald for taking that helmet-to-helmet, dropping that onside kick. Blamed him. That's one person I know.
I'm not even going to get into that. But what I will say is I thought the Cardinals' defense shot themselves in the foot just as often as everybody thought the refs shot us because their penalties, like Darryl Washington's clapping over the offensive.
Yeah,
player.
Just stupid.
Just stupid penalties.
Things were starting to get a little out of control, though. There was a lot of jawing going on.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
My favorite jawing, I want to say, was when Darryl Washington, because it happened right after Darryl Washington planted. Who'd he plant? It might have been Kendall Wright. Kendall Wright. And just absolutely planted somebody that
I think
Sean Church should make a gif of.
Yeah, I thought that was Chris Johnson, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, well, that there was some jawing, and then he went and sat out the next play.
Mm-hmm.
He was John. I think it was Kendall Wright, and then he was out on the next play because he caught the ball. It was a catch. It wound up being a catch.
Right.
So, you know, that I was expecting to see the flag, but at the same time, I wouldn't have been shocked if they didn't throw one. and maybe just gave him a.
Hey, so you want to hear who I blame?
Yeah, yeah.
For that comeback, I blame Todd Bowles.
That's who I was going to blame. Okay.
Because we gave at the beginning of the show already stats on the blitzing and how well that obviously worked out for Arizona. That's why I blame Bowles.
To me, it seemed like it was Quentin time. You know, maybe just it felt to me like he was letting an assistant defensive coordinator play call, get some practice time in. Because I didn't see. It didn't seem like the same team that had been playing the whole game. So
it felt soft.
And
I thought it was the exact same team that had been playing the whole game because the defense was playing bad the entire game.
Yeah, I didn't.
That was an offensive one game.
No, it was an offensively one game, but it's just they only gave up 17 points. It's not a lot.
No, but it's just that's only because the Titans didn't take advantage of all the bad defensive breakdowns and penalties and plays that they were making. That's because of the Titans, not because of the Cardinals defense.
They'd given up a lot of yards. They'd given up a lot of drives.
That stalled.
Yeah.
That
wound up just stalling. But
and there were, I know there was the missed field goal before the half. And
yeah.
There was just a lot of, the Titans just, they should have won that game. They were handed everything on a silver platter.
No, you see, I don't know. I think the better team wound up prevailing.
I do too. I think the Cardinals are a better team, but the Cardinals gave them so many chances to win that game.
I think the Cardinals played the better game for 57 minutes.
Well, only because the Titans
Offense. And the offense...
Right, and that too.
But the offense covered is what it was.
The offense covered, but if the Titans would have taken advantage on offense themselves, like the Cardinals did when they were on offense, that game would have been a 14-point victory for Tennessee.
Yeah. Yeah, it could have been.
Yeah?
I don't know. What else? Where are we at? Let me check our minutes. Should we talk about the Seahawks? Brandon Browner? No Brandon Browner?
Yeah.
Not that I don't think that matters too much.
His suspension got... his appeal got denied.
Set to indefinitely.
Indefinitely.
That's where he's at now. He's
suspended indefinitely. That means a season. That means at least a season.
Yeah.
I would say.
I would think so. Let me see where we're at. We're in the 30s. Yeah. You're ready to wrap up.
Why not?
I know what you want to go do. We won't talk about it publicly. You don't want to talk anything Seahawks. You don't want to talk
We could talk Seahawks.
I mean, let's talk a couple minutes of Seahawks.
Okay.
Let's talk some Seahawks football.
Is there any chance the Cardinals can go up to Seattle and win this game?
Do you have a prediction?
I could give you one. I could just pull it out of the air right
what
now.
How do you think it's going to go down?
I'm saying 40. No, not 40. 32 to 17 Seahawks win.
You think that comfortably, huh?
Yeah, I do.
In Seattle?
Yeah, I really do. And I know Marshawn Lynch didn't practice today.
Yeah, I'm not concerned.
Neither did Percy Harvin. I think Marshawn.
He does that a lot of times. He'll not practice. I think he not practiced before last year's blowout.
And I'm not worried about Percy Harvin because the Seahawks have been doing plenty fine without him anyways. Golden Tate, I'm scared to death of that guy.
That's an issue. So here's an issue that we have. This is something I wanted to just mention. So we talked about Kendall Wright. Patrick Peterson has a hard time covering.
He's going to have the same
now
problem.
We have Golden Tate, who it seems that Patrick Peterson has a hard time covering.
That guy's going to get a lot of money this offseason.
Who?
Mr. Golden Tate.
Mr. Golden?
Because he's a free agent after this season.
And then what we're going to be looking at, let's pretend for funsies. Let's just say the miracle of 2013 is pulled off. It's a Christmas miracle. And the Cardinals go up there and win. Then
it is a Christmas miracle.
They have the next week with the playoffs on the line, possibly.
San Francisco at home.
Michael Crabtree's back and playing a little bit well.
Yeah.
And healthy.
That's another guy, Patrick.
And Patrick Peterson has issues with him.
You know, and it's funny we're saying this. This could be 3 weeks in a row, potentially, that Patrick struggles. You got to wonder, is he worth as big of a contract as we're projecting?
Yeah, we're projecting. You know, let's put it this way. If he struggles through these next two games like he has historically against these two players.
Right.
I don't know. I'd wonder how much money they, you know.
Offer him. I mean, he's still got.
And say you're locked down, but we play. That's four games right there that you're going to have issues that we can account for. That's not good.
He's still got Patrick, too. I mean, it's not like, I mean, I hear these local guys saying, oh, the Cardinals are going to get a deal wrapped up with Patrick. They can't afford not to this offseason. No, that's not true. I think they could easily go through this offseason. He's still got next season under contract, and then the team holds an option for the fifth year. So, no, I'm not going to say that he's going to necessarily get a contract this offseason.
Yeah, he's not. It's not guaranteed.
It's not guaranteed. Would I'd like bet, to, yeah. If I was a betting man, I'd say he does. I'd say he does. I'd say they clear the room, get rid of guys, maybe dock it. I have no idea.
Yeah.
To get some money for Patrick. I don't know.
I'd like him to. Yeah? I'd like to see him get another one.
He's got such a high ceiling, but I don't. And I heard last week, it was Rondé, I think it was Rondé Barber, said Patrick's the best corner in the league.
Yeah.
And that's from Rondé Barber, who was pretty dang good corner himself. That's pretty high praise. So
yeah, he played for the Bucks, and he doesn't want to give Darrell Revis any props either.
Well,
probably.
I don't agree with Patrick being the best corner in the league. I think he's still got too many holes in his game as a corner. And, you know, we used to give him leverage because he's a great special teams player, punt returner. He hasn't done anything. No.
I think if you get down to the nuts and bolts of it, I think he'd wind up being better than Richard Sherman.
I think he has a higher ceiling than Richard Sherman.
I think Richard Sherman is in a good system with a good team, and you know, when everybody's good,
exactly. They have such a great pass rush. The quarterback's always under duress.
When your team is that good and the opposing quarterback is always playing from behind, or they have to throw somewhere.
Yeah.
They have to try.
No, I mean,
and you know, I don't think Richard Sherman is necessarily, I think he's a very good cornerback. I just think you plug Patrick Peterson in where Richard Sherman is, I think you're going to see similar or better results.
See, I don't agree with that. Right now, I think Sherman is easily the best corner.
I think he's playing the best. I think you and I don't pull know him Patrick, and put Patrick, he, I think he'd...
But, I mean, if you put... Sherman's on an island with a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
With a lot of receivers. Patrick, you put him in that same position, if he's got to guard Kendall Wright again.
Kendall Wright.
Even on Seattle's defense, I don't see it. Or a Crabtree in a division game. I don't see him being able to guard Crabtree, even if he plays for the Seahawks. It doesn't matter what uniform he's wearing.
So here's my thought. If there's any time in the season that Seattle is going to have a trap game, I think this is it.
No, I don't.
This is the definition of a trap game.
No, it's not. Because Seattle, if they win this game, they get home field advantage throughout the playoffs until the Super Bowl, obviously. So... no, I don't. This is not a trap game.
You don't think this is a trap game?
They want to win that home field advantage because then the next week they also have a division game against the Rams. So no, this is not a trap game.
I think this is a team they come out very, very confident against. Very confident.
Against the Cardinals? I would say they do that as well. I think they're a very cocky team, the Seahawks.
Yes.
But I don't think they see this as a game that's going to be a breeze.
I think they're overlooking them. I do. I think they would. I think... The Cardinals, last time they played them at home,
if this was
blowout 58-0, really didn't have a hard time against them on Thursday night. I think if there's time to have a... I mean, yeah, you're right.
If this was a middle-of-the-season game, I think I'd agree with you. But it's at the end of the season, and they want to lock up that home field advantage. I don't see that at all.
I think they have it. I don't know. My guess would be... Because it doesn't just seem like they're locked in already.
To the home field advantage?
Yeah, I don't know. I know they're not. They need a New Orleans loss, which we have to cross fingers and dot I's for.
That doesn't happen. No, we want to hope that it doesn't happen.
Yeah, we don't want them to lose. Yeah, we don't want that. No, I don't know. I don't know. I know that Seattle's
You're
probably
thinking
gonna win.
Based on the 58-0 win that they're just like, oh, this team, when they come up here, they can't even
this
come
team can't,
match
they
us.
They can't match up with us. These guys are all a bunch of clowns.
See, I don't think
Richard
that,
Sherman can't even.
Plus, I don't think that for another reason. This is a different Cardinals team with different Cardinals coaches.
Yeah.
There's so many new players. I don't think they think that at all.
I mean, the Cardinals are in bad shape right now. They've got Larry banged up. Carson's on a bum ankle, bum elbow still.
Matthews
Michael Floyd,
out.
Matthews out. I mean, a lot of key players are hurt. But, I mean, this time of year for it, though. Everybody's hurt, right? That's what they say. Everybody's hurt this time of year. Everyone's playing injured.
Right.
So, I don't know. No, you know, this is maybe the fan in me, then. Prime for an upset. I don't know. I don't think it's... Yeah, I have a hard time picking it. not picking it to happen, but, you know, I mean, imagine right now the Cardinals in ESPN and NFL.com's power polls, I think, are 9-8 in both of them, which is complete BS that they're not going to make a playoff spot.
Yeah.
Sitting in the top 10 right now in the league.
Is what it is. Power rankings are power rankings.
Yeah, that's all they are. They're nothing. They mean nothing.
Exactly.
But imagine, just imagine if you will, they win this week. Let's say they do win out the next two games.
Mm-hmm. They could not make the playoffs.
They could not be in the playoffs and be ranked
11-5 and not make the playoffs.
And could be sitting 3 or 4 in the power rankings and not make the playoffs.
It's all about the division games.
It's ridiculous. You know, if they do that, B.A. should win Coach of the Year. He should.
He really should.
Even if they didn't make the playoffs and they go 11-5, I mean, in the event that they manage that.
I mean, there's only a couple other coaches I could see being in contention with B.A. if they win at least 10 games. Let's say they win one of these last two. I still see as one of the last two, B.A. is being in contention for Coach of the Year for a second consecutive year.
Yeah, he'll be in contention.
So I'll say it's
I think
him.
Andy Reid will be this. That's going to be the sexy one, obviously,
yeah.
I think.
Well, Andy Reid exudes sexiness. We know that.
Yeah.
Mike McCoy with the Chargers. I think he's done a really good job. He's transformed that team, in my opinion. And you're not going to want to hear this one. Chip Kelly in Philly.
You know, God, you just... And that's what's BS, because... I mean, they may even consider Mark Trestman if they win the division.
Yeah.
The Cardinals would blow these guys. I mean, not blow them out, but I mean, you look at the play. You
Cardinals
look at
a better team.
The records. You look at the team. You look at what they've done it with. They've done it with a. I mean, look at the injury. Look at the left tackle. I mean, it's an undrafted free agent that was off the scrap heap in week two or something.
You know
week
who
one.
Else is kind of a dark horse?
Philbin.
There's two teams. No, not Philbin. Philbin's been... No, he can't win because that whole Richie Incognito mess. Well, I think that'll play against
him. Win in spite of it.
Yeah, but I think that'll hit him against... Anyways, no. I'm going somebody down south there. Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Saints were awful last year. And I know a big part of that was because of their defense, but it's also because they didn't have that offensive chemistry with Sean Payton and Drew Brees. And then Ron Rivera with the Panthers. That team's just really come alive.
Do you remember early in the season? God, I remember a couple games this season just rooting hard for the Panthers. Come on, win. Come on,
because you didn't want the Saints to win or what?
No, a couple times, like early in season, week one against the Seahawks.
Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah.
against the Niners.
Right, right.
You know, and you're like, come on. And now
it's like, lose.
Son of a bitch, why'd they beat the Niners, damn it.
And the Seahawks.
What's wrong with you guys? I mean, these teams are screwing us at the wrong time.
Lost us, yeah.
Seahawks couldn't pull it. Never mind.
Yeah, let's not.
Rambling on about junk. You know, it's just my gripes. That's all it is. The Seahawks losing. Oh, Tyler's giving me the old wrap it up symbol.
Double.
The old wrapsies upsies. All right, let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap it. So what's your prediction this weekend? You gonna grow some cojones and say the Cardinals win?
Yep.
Oof.
They have to.
I mean, you have nothing to lose by saying they win.
Well, you know, I don't call a lot of games. I don't give a lot of predictions. How about this? The last time I gave a prediction was against the Patriots last year. And I picked the Cardinals.
Well,
in case you're curious.
That's good luck. That's mic drop right there.
Anybody's paying attention or keeping any score. Oh, you just mic dropped me?
Mic dropped.
So, with that being said, that's how I'm calling it. I just think I think they're primed for an upset. I do. I think that they're going to look at that 58-0 and think this is not an issue. I think they're looking ahead. I think they're looking at the playoffs. I do. I know they haven't technically locked it up yet. Come on. They're going to at some point. They're going to lock it up.
I would say they do.
I was hoping they had it locked up by this week. But they screwed it up. All right, well, thank you for listening to the Arizona Bird Gang podcast this week. Follow me at Zoopaloop, Zoopaloop. Follow Mr. Tyler Nickel. Tyler
Nickel, ASU.
ASU.
NICKEL, in case anybody was wondering.
Follow the podcast at Bird Gang.
You get a
podcast.
Lot of mail that's HOL, HOLS,
uh-huh.
NICKELS. There's no S.
Make sure to check out the website, which we are featured on, sports360az.com, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and rate us 5 stars, 1 star, 2 star, 3 stars, whatever, on iTunes. Love.
6.
Love ratings.
Thanks.
All right. We're out. Slashed and torn.